Is my mic on? Yeah, okay. Okay, good morning, everyone. I want to read. Start off with in a passage in 2 Peter chapter 1. And I want to read from 1 to 11. And in the beginning here in this passage, there's a greeting that Peter gave to the church here. And I want to give this greeting to you. Now, starting in verse 1, Simon Peter is bondservant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who obtained light, precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, this is a greeting I want to give to everyone. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now, the part I'd like to read today is 5 through 11, and this is the portion I want to talk about today. And what I want to look at is how to thrive in our Christian life, starting in verse 5. But also for this reason, give all diligence. Add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. Now listen to these words. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now these words are wow. If these things are in you, you will never stumble. And an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly in the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. When I look at this promise that is here, it's wow. So what I want to dive into today is, what is it telling us here? How can we grab a hold of this so that we can make it real in our life? Because this idea of never stumbling, to me, is inviting. I like this idea that there's actually a way laid out that we don't have to stumble as we go through life. So starting to the first one, it's talking about faith. And I believe the faith, and this stood out to me. I didn't really see it before. But if you go back to verse 2, and what I see here is faith is something that we get from another source. It says, to those who obtain like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. If you need something, where do you go to obtain it? To a place where they have it. And here, the faith that it's talking about is obtained by the righteousness of God. This is not something we can work up. This is not something that if you do it long enough, you can get it. But this is something that you got to get. And it's by God. So the whole starter of this is faith. You need to have faith. And it is gotten by the righteousness of God. So that's the starting foundation, is faith. If you don't have faith, I really don't know how to go any further. So if you feel you're lacking in faith, I believe we can do what Jesus taught us in Matthew 7, where it says, if you ask and it shall be given. Seeking you shall be found. Knocking it will be open. So if you want faith, ask for it. If you're lacking it, if you don't feel you have enough, ask for it. It's gotten by the righteousness of God. That's how you obtain it. Now, starting, going to the next one, virtue. So now, what is virtue? This is what I found that this virtue means. It's a virtuous course of thought, feeling, or action, moral goodness, any particular moral excellence. What I see by this is, once you have faith, add to that virtue. The moral excellence that you live by. Do you live by excellence? Or do you live by how much you can get away with? I think if we live by how much we can get away with, we are not adding to our faith virtue. Excellence is doing something to the best of your ability. I guess one thing that I like by excellence is something that I see in my nieces and nephews. I don't know how my brother did it to his children, but somehow he instilled within his children that when it comes to schoolwork, you do your best. And if you don't do your best, they get upset. If they don't know, if they don't have good grades, they get upset at themselves. Somehow he instilled within them a desire to study and to excel to the best of their ability. I don't know how he did it, but they're all like that. How are we on the area of our morals? Do we go out to excel, to do the best you can in the area of honesty, in the area of sexual purity, in the area of your thought life? Do we do it with excellence? Not just, I do not like this thought of going into the scriptures to look how much you can get away with. Because I have witnessed this in my lifetime. Something with me just turns when I witness that. But to me, is excellence is going at it and for the glory of God, to the best of your ability. Wherever you go in life, whether it's at home, whether it's dealing with your children, whether it's dealing in the business world, whether an employee, employer, wherever you interact with, on your moral levels, do it with excellence. I believe this is adding to your faith, is excellence, is your virtue. And the next one is, add to your virtue knowledge. And in trying to discern where this is coming from, it pretty well all pointed back to one thing, is the knowledge of God. In today's age, if you want knowledge of something, it's available to be had. Pick a subject. We have the internet. Where if you want knowledge, you can research something, and the chances are to find someone that has an opinion that studied it out is very high that you will find that person. And I don't have no problem with that. But how is our desire of knowledge of who God is? Is that thing burning within us? Is there a desire to grow in the kingdom of God? Is there a desire within us to steward the kingdom of God well? And when I look at the kingdom of God, it looks very basic to me. It's God is king, and God wants to bring his kingdom on this earth. Am I doing well to show the world around me what his principles are like? I mean, your principles come out in your workplace. The people you associate with, you cannot hide what's inside. Are we desiring to grow in the knowledge of God's ways, how God thinks, what God's vision is, and His desire for mankind here on earth, or even for you yourself personally? Are you pursuing that knowledge? We can pursue whichever field we want to go into. And I'm not saying that when we pursue other knowledge outside of God, that we're not pursuing God. That's not what I'm saying. But what I see here is there's a progression. That first of all, there's faith. After you have faith, you add to that virtue, moral excellence, and then knowledge of God. And as our knowledge of God grows, my opinion, life gets more exciting. When I look at our society around us and I see the moral decline, the more I get to know God, the less that scares me. The more I get to know God, the more hope I see. The more answers I recognize. The more exciting life becomes, because it's not doom and gloom anymore. There's life. There's hope. There's ideas. There's visions. We're not caught up in a pit where the world is falling all around us and there's no hope anymore. No. The more you get to know God, it's exactly opposite. You get to know the Creator. You get to know that in the fallen position, there's answers. There's hope. It's not forever too late that we went past a point of no return. No. I believe the only time is a point of no return if we lose sight of who God is. But as long as we see who God is, there's always hope. There's always a reason to live. There's always a way out. Now, once you have that knowledge, then you go to the next part, is self-control. And self-control is one of the definitions I found. The virtue of one who masters his desires or passions. And I will make this very practical. Now, this part here is my personal belief. If you want to switch it another way, that's fine. I'm not saying this is Bible. But to me is, if you can master the ability of hunger, you can probably master almost anything else in your life. To me, hunger is a God-given desire. There's nothing wrong with it. It is actually good. But I'm telling you, if you're not careful, hunger will control you instead of you controlling hunger. If you can work all day long and you say, oh, I'm just starved. I got to eat right now. If I don't eat right now, I have no strength to go on. And you only miss one meal. My opinion is hunger controls you. That's my opinion. Now, if you've been fasting for 30 days and you say, okay, I think it's time to hunger. I'm getting a little weak here. I think it's time to do something. I think I understand now. But skipping one meal, learn to control, be in charge of your hunger, is a beginning of self-control. And then once you can get that one down, that you can be in charge, that you're in charge, instead of your body being in charge, you're in charge, I believe we can handle almost all of our other appetites, all of our other desires. Now, again, that phrase there was my doctrine, not something you find in the Bible. So you can do with it what you want. But the area I do want to focus in is master your desires and passions. Be self-controlled. Don't allow the passions in your life, and a lot of these passions, there's nothing wrong with them, but be in control of them. Now, if it's If it's sinful passions, those are the ones we have to get rid of. But I'm not talking about sinful passions. I'm talking about passions that are good. Be in control of your passions. Add to your knowledge of God is self-control, and that's simply being in control of your passions. It's that simple. Second, the next one is perseverance. Here's one of the definitions I found. Steadfastness, consistency, endurance. The characteristics of a man or woman who is unswayed by their deliberate purpose and loyalty to faith and piety by even the greatest trials and sufferings. What I see here is a progression of growth in our Christian journey. Can we work on all these at the same time? I believe we can. But I also recognize that as we conquer one, and God will take us through tests, He will take us through the next test. And what I see the next one here is perseverance. How persevered are we to make it through? You will find tests in your life. Tests will come. Do we look at tests as something negative or something positive? In life, we tend to look at tests as something negative. But majority of the time, when we experience a test, it's always just before a promotion. And I'll break this down. I'm really thankful I passed my test of a driver's license. Because once I passed the test, I was legal to drive on the road. I got a promotion. I was allowed to drive. When I passed my test of my CDLs, now I was legal to drive on the road with a big truck. If you're in second grade and you pass your test, your last test of the year, and you pass it, now you can go into third. With every test you pass, you move on to something greater. I honestly look at the Christian life the same way. We will face tests in our life. If we pass the test, we move on to the next stage of life, whatever that might be. I clearly remember the first time I passed. I don't know if it was the first test, but it was the first test that was very vivid to me. And I'm not going to go into the whole scenario, but I clearly remember that when everything was finished, I felt in my spirit say God. God was telling me, you passed your test, you're ready for the next stage. And that particular one, my life changed dramatically right at that moment. So when I look at perseverance, that is pushing through the difficult times. The other test I can see is a test of fire. We will go through life. And I don't think this is avoidable. This will happen to us if we want to grow in our Christian life. Is you will get tested by fire. What do I mean by that? It's kind of difficult for me to explain what that is. But I know what it's like to go through a testing with fire in my own spirit. For me, this has been my experience. In the time of testing, I felt that I could jump out of the fire if I wanted it. But I want to encourage everyone here, is if you want to go further, ask God for testing of fire, to go through the fire. I heard already that if you really want to be strong, you got to get persecuted. And the scenario that was given to me was, you know, if you're in a persecuted country, they're really tested and they're stronger than what we can ever be. I actually do not believe that doctrine. I do not believe that you have to have physical persecution in order to exceed to your highest ability. God is not restricted to a communist or a persecuted country in order for you to find your fullest potential of life. It can happen right here. It can happen if you have the best of parents, the best of siblings, the best of everything in life. God can take you through the fire if you want it. If you have never experienced it, I would invite you to ask for it. Because to me, fire, going through the fire, is good. It helps deal with the impurities in your life that nothing else can get rid of. But that fire can get rid of the trash in our life. But when you go through that, you might cry out and say, God, how long? Or you might even say, God, I don't want to go through that. And there's a possibility God will say, you don't need to. I would encourage you, invite the fire, go through it, persevere in it, stay in it till God takes you out of it. It's not a lifetime journey. It's for a moment to burn out the trash in our life, and therein we can grow. But persevere through your life. Persevere through it. When you're going through a dark time, persevere through it. Don't give up. Keep on going. Don't stop. Don't jump out of it. Stay in it till God completes the work that you want to do in your life. And what I saw through this perseverance was very interesting. The next one is godliness. And I found two simple words to go with that: reverence and respect. But to me, was interesting the lineup of it all. When you go through that fire, and when you go through those tests, and you are faithful, the reverence and the respect of God within you will grow to a higher level. There is a depth of respect and reverence toward God that cannot be found unless you go through the fire. Going through the fire has a way of ridding our life of the word that comes to me is the dross or the trash that is holding us back for seeing who God really is. And as that trash is dealt with, you will find a level of reverence and respect to the degree that you would not have tasted it if you would have never gone through that fire. I look at the fire of God as a healthy thing. I look at it as a exciting moment, even though you might be crying out and it's uncomfortable, it is good. Because out of that comes a depth of godliness that you will only find because of the fire. Now, when I move to the next one, this to me was very interesting. Because when I look at this lineup, each one builds on top of the other one. And the next one is brotherly kindness. And when I look at society around us, and I look at all the inner fighting that there is, all the shafting there is to another, all the backstabbing that there is, this is my conclusion. It is because there is a lack of real brotherly kindness. And I believe this brotherly kindness is part of the progression of growing in God. It's almost way down at the end of the list. That this brotherly kindness is not achieved till you go through these other areas of life. We have to experience these other ones till we can come to this point of having true brotherly kindness to one another. It's something we need. This brotherly kindness, I don't believe, will backstab. This brotherly kindness will support, will encourage, will lift you up, and will encourage you to go through life and to become a better person. I believe if we find ourselves backstabbing, gossiping, slandering each other, it's a result of lacking brotherly kindness one to another. Then if I go to the last one, it's love. And when I looked at this word, it basically brought out another word, and that is agape love. And as you look at agape love, it is the deepest of loves that we can embrace. It's a desire to help someone be the best that they can be. It is steadfast, unchanging, committed love. It is a nurturing kind of love. It's the type of love that does not give up. It's the type of love that does not push away. It's the type of love that does not build walls. It's the type of love that does not stop. It's the type of love that doesn't give up. It's the type of love that will pour out regardless of how you respond to it. It's the type of love that doesn't stop. This is the type of love that God has toward us. And this is the type of love we can have toward others. But I want you to see where it is. It's at the end of the list. If I'm understanding this passage correctly, you don't jump all over the list and work on just the one you want to pick. You start at the first one, and you go to the next one, and you go to the next one, and you go to the next one. You grow in each step. And I'm suspicious, now this is just my thoughts again, that you don't get to move to the next one. This is a test that God will take you through to advance. Okay, now you're ready for the next area. And when I look at this agape love, and the reason we don't see more of that around us, I believe it's very simple. It's because we never made it to that one. We have not made it if we're not experiencing this agape love one toward another. It's because we have not passed the test to get to that area. But if once we can pass the test to all these areas and have all these things flowing out of our life, for if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Going to verse 10. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly in the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let's pursue this with all we got. Because when we're walking in this, we will never stumble. And an entrance will be given to us into everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I don't know if this is appealing to you, but to me it is. I love this passage, and I want to encourage you all to do what it takes, no matter where you are in this journey. And you might be at a place where you actually, where you're walking in all of them. I don't know where you're at. But seek God. If you are not at the last one, find out where you are. Give it your full attention. Grow. And God will take you through till you're living this whole thing out throughout your life. I believe it's possible. It's something we can walk in. It's not a superfluid thing that's out there, superficial thing that's out there that's too hard to attain. No, this is attainable. We can walk in it, we can experience it, and we can live it. God bless you.